Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 298. I am Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
Graham Thickens.
I am here, dudes.
And over there is Phil Wilson.
Hello.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Great. I've got the cable card blues.
Yeah, what's going on with your cable? You know, for technical guys, we always have a lot of problems.
What's a cable card? I don't know what a cable card is.
It's a card. It's a small metal card thing with some circuitry in it that basically emulates a cable box. So instead of using one of those huge cable boxes, you can get one of these things and stick it in a device like a TiVo, which is my case, and it decodes all of your cable signals. And so I've got a problem with a new TiVo Romeo that I've put in where it has multiple tuners, a lot more than my old TiVo Premier had. So I'm only getting half of them at the moment, which is kind of a bummer.
No.
Because what that means is the TiVo is looking to tape your shows. Like last night, there was three things, and it only taped two of those three things at once. So
I hate when that happens. Because then, plus the fact you got to get up out of your chair and go over and monkey with it. You know, you can't just use the remote.
What? Get out of my chair? No way.
Yeah, so I got to call. I replaced it yesterday, and I've got to call them again today and have them send more signals or download firmware on it. I don't know. Something like that to get it to all four tuners to work.
But, and it'll only take 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah, the guys at TiVo said, yeah, this is a problem. But they said they usually find it only with the six tuner model. But I'm having the problem with the four tuner one.
Yeah.
It'll get fixed at some point, though.
So, ladies and gentlemen listening, this is the proverbial first world problem.
It is.
I'm glad we led with that, not the Apple story.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you know, speaking of getting TV, you know, CenturyLink has wanted to get in the TV business, and things are not looking very good for those guys on their gigabit rollout and broadband and all that stuff in the Twin Cities, right?
Wait, so what you're saying is a company has promised something that they're not delivering in a timely manner?
Hard to believe.
Unheard of.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah.
This is a scandal, I tell you.
No, not really.
Well, the thing that I found weird was, why did they block commenting on the Star Tribune site? That seemed like a kind of an odd deal.
Well, they supposedly it was a DDoS, or what is it? DDoS? Is that what it is?
Yeah, distributed denial of service.
Yeah.
That only they saw.
Right. They heard somebody said maybe.
Yeah, no, nobody else blocked it. Nobody else saw this attack for Livefire?
Yes.
The commenting system that Star Tribune is using.
Right.
And of course, nobody else blocked, except for CenturyLink, blocked the comments on the Star Tribune site. But they got it all fixed, but it was just like a weird story.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, Julio's been all over this.
He has.
Relative to what's going on with it. And well, yeah.
That's his beat.
It's what right. He's a reporter. That's his gig.
He's a journalist.
I mean, what's going to happen next is they're going to block the one on the Pioneer Press, right?
Nah, it'll never happen.
Never's a long time.
Yeah.
The TwinCities.com site, the Pioneer Press site, has much bigger problems than
that's true.
Fire thing, so.
All the ads are bad.
It's just awful.
Hey, do you guys have you guys are both on Charter, you and Phil and Tim, right?
Yep, we are.
And
I don't have a cable card. I don't know what that's all about.
Yeah, you probably just have the box they give you.
Got the chunky old boxes, right?
Yeah. Could be.
Well, so what's the deal with Rochester? Rochester is gonna do city operated broadband, but it's gonna be run by Charter.
Yeah, they're considering it. No, I don't think so. No, they have Charter deal right now.
Oh, okay.
And they're renegotiating for. They have to start renegotiating because the deal with Charter is coming up.
Gotcha.
But what's the first sin of negotiation is show any weaknesses. And I mean, they're basically said in the piece, we don't have anything in the hopper if we don't do something with Charter. It's like, well, there's your good negotiating point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, oh, great.
Yeah. Okay. So who's going to run the city broadband? Oh, Joe over there in operations.
A guy named Bob. Yeah.
Oh man.
Well, I don't know. So that, yeah, there. So they basically put that on the table that if the city would like to fund it, you know, of course they would have to put together another, you know, levy of some kind, tax levy, to make sure that that's taken care of or built out. But they were saying that they just had a 7% increase in the levy, and they hear more about bad broadband service than they hear about that. So maybe they could get another levy passed to fund a utility based, you know, a city utility based broadband. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know, my hometown of Cedar Falls, Iowa has the Cedar Falls Utilities Company actually runs the cable and internet service in that city. It's really very good service and it's really not all that expensive, but, you know, I don't know if you want to have, it's not necessarily a real competitive environment. That's for sure.
Right. Yeah. City monopoly, huh?
Yeah, it is. So,
well, you know, what's interesting about that is that, not that I pay any attention to it cause I don't drink, but my wife was talking about this new liquor store that came into Edina on 494 in France and how they had to fight city council to get the licenses and so on. And it's this
Total
big
Wine.
Total yeah, Wine. Actually, big, yeah. Big discount. Yeah.
Yeah. It's right next to Trader
Joe's. Oh, it's considered Bloomington. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
and Bloomington had this law, which almost nobody in the whole country has, where you can't have a corporation that includes minors if you sell alcoholic beverages.
Okay.
And so the Total Wine organization includes kids of the founders, apparently. So they had to reincorporate, excluding those, I guess, or putting those kids into a trust or something.
Why, these kids were minors?
Yeah. So even though the kids have no operating role, right?
They're just shareholders.
They're just shareholders.
Right.
And almost every other locality will give you a liquor license with that kind of arrangement, except for Bloomington. So it was that store was ready to go months ago, and they were just kept going hammering around, and they finally reached some sort of agreement, and they're open now.
Oh, weird.
That's an epic place, by the way. I mean,
we
have one in Burnsville.
Okay, I didn't want to go off on a tangent. What I wanted to do is
you could spend a day there, dudes.
What I wanted to do is I wanted to tie it back into the fact that Eden Prairie. Yeah. Owns all the liquor stores. It's all city operated.
Yeah, same.
And so my wife's always complaining about the fact that she goes, you know, the prices are horrible.
Yep.
We're just talking about booze. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, but it has to do with pricing and so on. So talk about not having any competition. I mean, you don't have to do anything, right?
But we get a nice fireworks show every year.
Yeah,
sponsored
right.
by Lakeville Liquor. Come
well,
on.
Well, Eden Prairie only makes only nets something like, you know, $600 or $800K out of really? The deal out of all the liquor stores. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you that the prices at Lakeville Liquor have dropped significantly since Total Wine went in and burned.
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing. Yep.
Yeah, I wouldn't that's say significantly.
Well, they've dropped. Let's just.
Yeah, I like Total Wine because the selection is really good.
Very good. Very good selection.
Well, so our retail analyst, Tim Elliott, who runs a lab out of his house for Best Buy on new technologies, has put in an article here about Best Buy not doing Super Bowl ads, but doing what, Tim?
They're doing digital stuff, which makes total sense. So
anybody that spends money on a Super Bowl ad is nuts. That's all.
Especially with Ozzy Osbourne and Justin Bieber involved. I mean, that was just this bad idea from the beginning.
Well, yeah, that's the only reason I'm watching the game.
Yeah, Super Bowl ads. You know,
I don't understand why companies do it. I know. It's like, you know, how about feed a third world nation instead?
Yeah.
Yeah. Think no kidding. Children.
You know, good Lord, what a waste of money.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
the story did say that Best Buy has a new CMO, which I didn't.
Yeah. From Auto Nation.
Expedia. Yeah.
And right. Expedia.
Never heard of this guy, Greg Revelle.
Yeah. But they were on one long search to find him. You know, it's been since Barry Judge left, since they've had a CMO. And that's a long time ago. That what, a year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah, that is a long
time.
They
went without a CMO, so
you don't have to do that. You don't do that pesky marketing, and you don't have to spend the money. So,
well, I'll tell you though that this is kind of a big deal that Fallon convinced one of their clients, Loctite, to do the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
why? Yep.
So that was.
It's because Fallon makes a lot of money in commissions on that.
Well, yeah. But
and TV is their expertise. I mean, they really do a fantastic job. It'll be fun to see the commercial. Has it already been previewed, I suppose?
I haven't paid any attention, so I don't know.
But the Super Bowl's on tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. Well, how could you miss it? The pregame started last night at 9.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, and
pregame coverage.
Well, I'm not watching it because those balls will be deflated, I'm sure.
Oh, God, yeah.
No, they'll probably actually pump them up and then put slippery stuff on them.
Yeah, so that'd be good.
They'll be hard as a rock, and they'll have some sort of silicone spray on them so they're slipperier.
My favorite thing about Deflategate is about a week or so ago, even within a few days after this happened, Patrick Roycey said on the radio, please stop. Can we go back to our lives?
Right.
You know, it's like, enough. Stop. And it has continued on the whole damn week. And, you know, they'll be talking about it tomorrow too. I can't wait for the game to be over.
I bet you next week, we're not going to hear anything about this.
Oh, yeah. Thank God.
That's it.
Hey, so, Graham, by the way, Graham is on his iPhone on Skype for the first time, and your microphone is rubbing on your clothes, so we can hear your crunching.
Or your 5 o'clock shadow. We're not really sure what it's rubbing on. So.
Well, it's a soft flannel shirt. I'm dressed today.
Yeah, but
I was off to the airport at 5:15 to drop my son off. So
as opposed to Graham's soft flannel underwear and sleepwear. Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, so I just thought I'd throw that in. Let's talk about startups and what's going on in Minnesota with respect to that. So 75F lands cash from Gopher.
The Minnesota Cup.
Yep, they did. Deepinder Singh. That's a big thing. They're really moving forward. They make wireless sensors and other Internet of Things technologies.
That was what, 80 grand? Is that what it was?
80 grand from Gopher Angels.
Yeah. Yeah.
There we go.
There you have it.
Not a huge infusion, but they'll take it.
But it's angel money. That's
right. Right.
Yeah.
Every little bit helps.
Oh, yeah. That's no angel money. And now they're going to be on their board, I suppose. And telling them what to do, and that's what happens.
Making them feel like crap. Yeah,
we have no idea what you're doing, but we're going to tell you how to do it, right?
Yeah. Right. Well, I shouldn't say these things because they're a good group of people. I know the founders anyway. They're getting more active in investing. The rub with them was that they were very slow to move, and they admitted it. But I think they've obviously sped up their act, although, you know, it could have taken a while since the Minnesota Cup. 75F has gotten more than Minnesota Cup money. They've gotten a couple of other infusions too. So everybody's kind of jumping on that bandwagon locally.
Yeah.
Has anyone heard of this Playtabase thing that Kathy Grayson also wrote about?
Well, not only have I heard about it, but also Muhammad Abdurrahman, the founder of Playtabase, is going to be the key luncheon keynoter at IoT Fuse, Internet of Things conference that I'm doing.
I saw that.
Justin Grammons and Patrick Delaney.
So how many keynotes you guys having over there?
Two. Okay. Not like you. You're having six at Mobile March?
No. Just three. Just kind of curious. All right. But I thought wasn't the guy from 75F part of that too? Or?
Well, we're just having this, you know, we're discussing stuff with a bunch of different people. So okay. Who's available? And
I got you.
Because South by Southwest is going on too. And but if you're down there and you've got a presence and you know, you're invested in different things, it's tough to do both.
I still can't believe people still go to that thing.
I think it jumped the shark, you know.
Yeah.
I don't even pay attention anymore.
Yeah, but Playtabase, the other wearables company, and so it looks like they're in the running for a trip to Google Demo Day, huh?
Yep. And I saw the presentation. It's like, how come, just this my question was, how come they didn't use the remote thing to control their presentation, their slide presentation. Seems like an easy kind of good connection.
Well, because the Apple Watch wasn't out yet, so you know, I'm sure they'll use that to control the presentation.
Interesting.
It's coming.
It's coming April, right?
Look out.
I don't know.
Seems like with all that extra cash, they could get that thing out a little quicker than that, right?
No, I think it's a tough problem they've got, and we'll have to see what they come up with.
Yeah.
It looks good. Yeah. It looks good. What they've shown so far.
What, the Apple Watch?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it looks good.
Good.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, the proof will be when they roll it out, see how it actually works.
Right. Well, speaking of Apple.
Yeah. Now you're finally to that point.
Can we segue to the biggest story of the week in tech?
Actually, Phil wanted to lead with this story.
We should lead with this story because it's big news.
It really is big news.
I mean, you know, whether you're an Apple fanboy or not, it is big news.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, right. Which Apple had the most profitable quarter of any company ever. Holy history. Yeah. Holy Hannah.
Well, I got to tell you that I remember, you remember Apple was on the ropes, right? So Steve Jobs comes back and he had the cash infusion from Microsoft. Remember when Bill Gates was up on the screen, just like the original Mac ad, and people were laughing about that.
$150 million, I think it was.
It was. And
yeah, something like that.
I remember when we would talk to different people. I went and met the CEO of Amation with my boss, and we were touting the fact that Apple had just had a $6.5 billion year. And now their profit for the quarter was $18 billion.
Like a $6.5 billion minute.
Yeah.
Let me give you a perspective on how big this story was. And this is right out of the Wall Street Journal. Apple's profit for the quarter was greater than Microsoft's, IBM's, Intel's, eBay, Netflix, Facebook, and Yahoo combined.
Yeah.
And its China sales were more than Intel's global sales. So that's how big that one was.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Incredible. Yeah,
some guy in the comments here in TechCrunch, he put it down to the second. It's like $2,200 a second.
Wow.
$137,000 per minute.
Yeah.
Over 8 million per hour. I mean, this is huge money.
And you know, I have yet to get an email back from Tim Cook, cause I've been trying to get him to invest in Minovate and use some of that extra cash.
They buy small companies.
Wisely not.
Well, right. he told me and he did reply to an email, I should say.
You know what he said? He said, if you would lead with our stories more, maybe.
Maybe. No. So maybe if you become an Ireland corporation so you can house all your cash offshore.
Yeah. Cut down that Android coverage and, you know, maybe he'll return your email.
Yeah. Speaking of which, what's the, you know, Forbes has had some good articles about things and, you put this link in here.
Oh, Graham, this guy. Yeah. Ewan Spence, a Forbes contributor, posted a story just this morning. Tim Cook defused Steve Jobs' thermonuclear war. Then he took down Android. Yeah. And he explains convincingly how the supply chain war, or the job that Tim Cook has done very quietly. He didn't go thermonuclear. He didn't spend the $40 billion that Steve Jobs was quoted as saying at the time they had in the bank, and he was prepared to spend every bit of it because this was a stolen product. You know, that was the quote from Steve. And the story is that, you know, Tim didn't need to go thermonuclear. He did it his own way, quietly. And the way they've tied up the chips and other things, including the touch sensor, and they've even tied up the air freight, buying ahead, so others can't get at the supply chain.
Right.
Has really, won the war at this point. I mean, read the story; it's a pretty good, testimonial of the job Tim Cook has done.
Well, and you know what's funny about this is that I remember, or as I was reading this, as I'm remembering back to a book that I read about Ike, about Eisenhower and the whole D-Day thing and how they set everything up and all of that. But what was really interesting was how once Stalin came in from the Soviet Union, they were able to surround Germany and slowly but surely just continue to cut off all the supply lines. Mm-hmm. And so it didn't matter what Germany wanted to do. They couldn't do it because they didn't have fuel, for example, and, you know, on and on. Food was drying up. And so Tim Cook's done the same thing with Apple's supply chain.
I don't know if they're playing the same game, though. And I'm not sure why in tech people don't stratify the suppliers, because Apple is sort of playing the BMW Mercedes game, and Google with Android is playing more of a Ford game. And yeah, they might have some Lincolns occasionally, but they're playing a lower end play.
I think it's more of a Toyota play.
Yeah.
You know, Toyota just like, cranks out. I mean, they're the dominant, they have the most cars sold in the world.
Right. And you don't see people in the auto industry talking about, you know, the profitability of, you know, high end luxury cars versus a, you know, low end entry level car, which is on smaller, you know, profits.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, though, the smartphone market only has two dominant platforms, and the auto market has many, many manufacturers and established players. So it's not directly comparable.
It's kind of the same with Windows and Mac OS, though. You know, I mean, there's Windows was always less expensive because it was separate from the hardware.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wasn't a closed system like the Mac is.
So, out of curiosity, what's the definition of took down Android? Because last time I checked, you can still get Android phones.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a clickbait headline. You know how those work, Phil.
Oh yeah.
Well, what they mean is took them down, you know, in the market share game, and you know, it's the recent numbers are pretty revealing.
Well, yeah,
so they've been cut down a big notch as far as growth in that, and they Samsung's, you know, in trouble, and you know, not, you know, their growth has slowed dramatically, and you know, the Android market share is slow, and you know, Apple's not playing a market share war. They've said that time and again. It's a different, you know, it's a different model, and they're going for the high end, and Android, you know, is going to keep growing in the lower end, and you know.
Well, to put it in perspective, Android finished 2014 just last year with 81% market share versus Apple with 15 in global smartphone, and Microsoft with 3%. So there's a lot more in numbers, a lot more Android out in the marketplace.
I think the story is the Microsoft. I think they're coming on.
Yeah. I mean, they had like 2% before. So now up to 3%. Yeah. Maybe they'll get to 4%.
They've increased by a 30% margin.
That's right. They might get 5% by 2016. Who knows?
Well, I always just get a kick out of it because it's, you know, I'm a fan of both platforms. You know, I think that there's great opportunities in both of them. And, you know, I switched as it seems many have, the iPhone 6 made people switch from Android, which I think is more of a testament to screen size than anything.
Well, what I thought was interesting was the headline from the Register. And is this like British clickbait? Because it says Apple CEO, Fandroids are binning Android in favor of iPhones.
What's binning?
They're throwing it in the trash. Binning.
And on the second paragraph, they call Tim Cook the fruity Fuhrer.
Oh, God.
I mean, only like the Brits can get away with that.
Exactly.
It's right there. Can you see that? That's crazy.
My God. Who wrote that story?
Which Simon report? Ruckman. Oh, Simon, you're so witty.
Oh, you're so cheeky. Cheeky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Indeed.
Oh, my gosh.
British
so great.
Clickbait. Oh, yeah. I love it.
Okay, so has anybody downloaded this... this new Outlook app. It's my, really it's getting rave reviews.
On my phone right now. I haven't set it up yet, but I saw, you know, I saw this and I thought, geez, I really got to, because, you know, that is the biggest thing that I think that's the, I don't know if anybody else has made, you know, has the same thing, but moving from Android to iPhone, you know, when you are really tied into the Google ecosystem, is not a good experience. It's just not a good experience. So anything that can come up with making that experience better in the iPhone is, you know, immediately gets my attention. So I'm looking forward to seeing if this is really worth the hype.
Yeah. So it's for everybody listening, it's the Outlook app. We'll put a link in the show notes of the article, but you can obviously configure it with whatever email accounts you have. And people are talking about how this is the Gmail app because it's so fabulous. So I thought this will be
more useful for people that, especially that are in large companies and need to use Outlook. Is that the idea?
No, it's for anyone who wants a great email client.
You can tie into your Google account, and which is why I'm excited.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was really interesting. I when I read the first article that came out, it was like, really, seriously? So I thought I'm going to give it a try.
Yeah, you got to. Yeah. Well, it's better, you know, I tried to make that move to Mailbox. Remember when Mailbox came out?
Oh, yeah.
But since I have all of my accounts are Google Apps accounts, it doesn't work. So it only works on Gmail accounts. So at least last time I tried.
Well, so
give it a try.
So it turns out, according to our pals at Forbes, that mergers and acquisitions are now starting to accelerate in the Internet of Things market. We saw Smart Things get acquired by Samsung, but it says 451 Research states that acquirers spent $14 billion to acquire more than 60 Internet of Things related companies in 2014. So that's a big number in terms
of, it is.
Acquiring different companies and so forth. But it's going, you know, in my view, nobody really knows how this whole thing is going to shake out. And it's just pretty clear that there's still a lot of companies with a lot of cash that are kind of on the sidelines and they're waiting to see who's emerging. And going in and scooping them up.
Yep.
You
got your United Technologies, you got some big players. And then you've mentioned the local company Digi did an acquisition, right? Was that in the recent past?
No, not too recent. It's been, I think it was 2 years.
Okay.
Etherios. Well, they bought them because of their platform. They have a platform really for the industrial internet. For smart city stuff and so on, but it's a platform that does all this integration of basically anything it can integrate with, and you can it's a SaaS play, so it's in the cloud and so on. And you know, it's speaking of the cloud, because the cloud's getting smarter. Bill Gates, our pal Bill, joined Stephen Hawking and Elon Musk in warning that artificial intelligence is going to be a big problem.
Agreed.
And so Skynet's coming. If you watch the Terminator movies, and
I think that's a little extreme, but I don't know if you want to jump right from, robots
being concerned to
Skynet.
Oh, I know.
I think that's something that, you know, we're talking about three guys that aren't stupid people.
Yeah, I know.
I think that, you'd have to be concerned, because as we, not just at this concept of domination by machines, but it's what happens is, especially in this technology field that we love so much, that every time there's a great advancement in some sort of, service providing machine or robot or device, we talk about the loss of jobs Right. Those jobs were done by humans at one point in time. So it's not just this takeover of, you know, we're going to be, you know, under siege and massive wars and things like that. But it's like, yeah, it does affect the economic balance of society.
Well, and then this week there was an article that DARPA is training robots to learn to cook by watching YouTube videos. And then another article from the UK about journalists beware, robots are writing articles and it's going well. I could use one to do that
yeah, for me.
Well, I was thinking about you, Graham. I was thinking about, you know, pretty soon it'll be, well, just turn the robot on and let's get a press release.
Yeah.
You know,
just send them a tweet. Let's
do a little social media marketing. Then just turn the robot on. Let's hire Graham Thickens. Yeah. No, marketing, we just bought a robot. Let's use the robot.
Yeah. Oh, it's the future. Look out.
Oh, my God.
No, but Silicon Valley is just enamored, the VCs, with AI, artificial intelligence.
I know.
Yeah. I heard that from one of the startups I work with that was trying to raise money out there for, a context-aware assistant kind of thing. And it's like they aren't doing it with AI. And it's like the VCs didn't even want to talk to them. Oh, no, you got to do it with AI, you know. And it's like, you know, that AI or nothing, you know. And so it's an issue. And, you know, I wonder what Andreessen will have to say about this. Won't he be all over it? Mr., you know, numero uno VC.
Yeah, he hasn't made any comments, has he?
Oh, he will. I would think he'd be all over it. Brad Feld, who's another leading VC in Boulder at the Foundry Group, he's already said long ago, the machines won, you know, it's over. You know, he's an MIT guy and, you know, he's all for it. You know,
you know what I find interesting is that, you know, being a boy from the Midwest and growing up near farmers and marrying into a farm family, you know, AI used to mean a whole different thing.
Oh, what was it?
Artificial insemination.
Oh.
There you go.
Oh.
It's true.
It is true.
Yes.
It's true.
It's true. Well, I think it's that time, guys.
Is it?
It's time for...
Horses, release the horses.
It is time for Steve's security tip of the week.
Okay, so it wasn't horses. I always feel like you guys are disappointed when there's no horses.
I have. Yeah, that is scary though.
I must have horses.
Scary.
Yeah. Well, so it happened to me again this week where I had someone send a W-9, and it had their social security number in it and everything else because, you know, we use subcontractors and so on. And I looked at that and this particular person, I won't say the gender because they may be listening, was in a cafe, coffee shop, and sent the PDF through email in a coffee shop with no VPN. And I thought, oh my God. So that sparked a post that I did on my own blog. Never ever send confidential stuff via email. Never. No passwords, no nothing. I know that it's hard not to do all this stuff, but you know, if you can use webmail, that's got a secure socket layer, so at least you've got some protection there. But people asked, well, okay, so, you know, should we use Dropbox? You know, put a text file in Dropbox. Well, that's a good result use. But one of the things that you could consider is get a free 10GigBox.com account, because Box actually encrypts files from the desktop up to their server. And so everything is, so as you're syncing with Dropbox, nothing is encrypted as you're syncing. But with Box, everything is encrypted from the desktop up. And then the second thing you could consider doing is get a free SendInc.com. Account. Send Inc. is SendInc.com, and you can sign up for an account and send files, and you can send encrypted email, and then the person gets a link on the other end. They link and they go in. They either have to sign up for an account or they have to just log in, and they can get the secure email and the payload, whether it's a PDF or whatever. And that's my tip of the week.
That's a good one, as all this tax information is flying around.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yep, real good
it's
point.
It's that time of year.
Yep.
I'm going to make one of these Tor Raspberry Pi things. So I think that would be a good, a good thing to have. So when you're at Starbucks, you can just run this thing.
Yeah.
And it makes a proxy server, basically your own personal proxy server, and uses the Onion router to, anonymize your traffic.
Yeah. So then would you get into that from afar or just do it at home?
No, you actually carry this thing with you. So I'll just.
Oh, I see.
I will drop this into the notes so that everyone can check this out. But it's good use of Raspberry Pi, and it protects you in these kinds of situations.
That's cool. So you should have made that your cool thing of the week. But what we should do our cool thing of the week.
We should.
And I think we should start with Graham.
Oh God, mine's not all that exciting, but. But I tell you why this is the Discover feature that's been introduced to Snapchat. And I know I can hear the moaning out there already. I don't even use Snapchat. I have it on my phone. But now I figured, okay, I got to at least look at this to see how the millennials are doing their thing. And it's basically a news kind of a news reader feature in really short bites. Huh. And it's from editorial teams, and you get a bunch of channels like CNN, ESPN, People, Yahoo News, bunch of stuff that I normally wouldn't be looking at very much. But I thought, well, I'll give it a try, at least to understand how the millennials are getting their news. So it's not social media; it's about stories, as they say, a new way to explore stories from different editorial teams. And it's real short bites. It seems like they're not more than 15 seconds or so. Katie Couric on Yahoo News talking about the day's news and a bunch of stuff on ESPN, short clips of stuff, it's worth a look. I don't know that I'll use it very much, but it's out there, and their Snapchat is definitely expanding. I mean, they're going beyond the original scope of the app in doing this. And it looks good. The presentation is very nice, I will say that. So take a look if you dare.
Mr. Phil?
Yes?
What's your cool thing of the week?
Well, my cool thing of the week... Okay, so this kind of shows my age. The Moog Music is recreating a bunch of its legendary modular synths. I don't know if you could synthesizers. I remember when the Moog came out. I remember when, listening to music by groups like Emerson, Lake, and Palmer that used synthesizers to do some incredible things. But I think that, to me, that's very cool. It kind of takes you back to the old days of, what used to take up a big amount of space. Now it was a chip, but back in the day, there were a lot of wires and knobs.
And it's a chip.
I thought it was kind of cool.
And is it in a box or what? What are they? Because so you put a link in the show notes, and I'm looking at the very bottom where there's a handle on this box, but the box still looks huge.
It is. I mean, that's basically what it is. This is a recreation of. They're basically reissuing the original.
Oh, okay.
The original boxes. So.
You interesting.
Actually, that picture at the top of the page is actually now available. So
cool.
It's very cool. It's very cool. Again, that's kind of a throwback for me.
So. Yeah.
Throwbacks are good.
And Tim? So,
yeah, mine is another Kickstarter. It's called Print. And it's a instant camera case for the iPhone and some selected Android phones, mostly from Samsung. And it's a case that you put your phone in, and it runs with its own app, and it has its own little printing paper thing in it. So you can instantly, a la Polaroid, make prints. But It's actually, the software is pretty interesting because it, when it's taking your photo, it also takes a little movie. And so when you use their app and their photo, you get like a little augmented reality kind of a thing. So it's an interesting idea. And it's now on Kickstarter. It just started this week.
And it's already
holy buckets. Yeah.
They're already like $500,000 into a $50,000 goal with 30 days to go.
Oh my God.
And so
they will have millions by this time next week.
Yeah, so you can get it now. Let's see, what is it? They're up to 129, I think. Yeah. So it started out at what? Something like 79, I think. Something like that. Oh, no. 79,
what?
No, it was 49. So the first 20 backers who backed it for 49 will get one of these cases. Then it went up to 79 for 200. Those are all sold out. Then in 99, that was 800. Those are all sold out. And so now it's up to 129, and they have... Eight left.
Yeah. Hurry.
Yeah, then it'll go up to 149 and then 199. So you actually get two for 199. That's actually a pretty good deal.
Interesting. Well, you know, it's funny because they're using, I just noticed in the very bottom of the post that they're using something called Zinc.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
On my own blog, I wrote a post about this back in 2007.
You trendset or you?
Well, it's because I was really hot on the idea. And there was an article in TechCrunch. There was a guy, remember Eric Schoenfeld?
Yeah.
I don't even know where he is now, but Business 2.0, the magazine at the time that Om Malik wrote for and others, used to do this thing called New Disruptors. It was a video podcast. Mm-hmm. And they went and met the Zinc folks and got a tour of the technology, you know, of the plant and the tour of the technology and all that. And I was really enamored with it. And so now here we are over 7 years later.
Yeah.
And it's finally seeing the light of day.
Yeah. Well, I saw that technology debuted at the demo conference in California, Steve. So remember it well.
Oh my gosh. It's interesting
that Eric Schoenfeld went on to become the executive producer of Demo now. That's only been
in the last few years.
That's only been in the last two or three years. But interesting little tie back there, you know. But Zinc, I remember, seeing the founder up on stage talking about it. I remember a woman, or at least there was a co-founder that was a woman, I think. And they're out of the Boston area, as I recall.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, so they've been around. I think they've been raising money and doing other things, and you know.
Well, so. Tim, that's a really cool thing. Mine is unbelievably boring in comparison, but so I've got a really great pair of those Bose noise canceling headphones, and I keep forgetting to take them with me because I have three different briefcases that I use, and I forget sometimes to take it out. You know, when I take the iPad case, I forget to put them in there and so on. And plus there are so many different times I'd like to have different headphones in different places, but all the cheap ones are horrible. So I'm cruising the Wirecutter, that site that I love, and I look at headphones, and they had their top picks, best headphones under $40. And their number one headphone was the Brainwaves Delta with a microphone for $25.
Get the hell out of here, really?
And I bought them and threw them in my briefcase. I didn't even listen to them when I took, because I got the package and I had a meeting, so I just threw them in my briefcase and went out. And I got there about a half hour early, and so I unpacked the headphones and put them in. It was like, oh my God. So like the first 10 minutes of the meeting, I'm telling this guy all about these headphones.
So you like them?
Oh yeah, they're fabulous. I mean, well, again, for the price point, right? But I would never go buy those Apple White ones again, or I wouldn't buy any other cheap headphones. These things are phenomenal for the price point.
I'm buying right now, man.
Yeah,
I don't like the Apple.
Get them for $19.50 if you don't want the microphone.
Yeah, I want the mic.
Yeah,
I do too.
$22.50 on Amazon if you want them.
Click, oh, nice.
I just bought them.
Excellent. Excellent.
Hey, they come in like a black too. It looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
A black.
Oh, I got to pick a color.
Black or white. Yeah.
Black or, but, I think that's chrome. Isn't that chrome? Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, to get
the inline headphone, you have to.
Yeah, it's black only for the one with the.
On Amazon, yeah.
The 22 mic. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good deal. I've heard that the Amazon ones are also pretty good, and they're like, I don't know, $15 or something.
Those are they're black ones, right?
Yeah. They're Amazon Basics are the one that come with the Fire Phone, and they're supposed to be, for the price, they're supposed to be pretty good, but these look cooler.
Yeah, I was really impressed. And I usually am disappointed with headphones. So
if you're impressed, that's enough for me, man. I bought them.
Yeah. And the other thing, and just as an aside, this is kind of a bonus thing, is the connector between the cord and the actual headphone itself. Those things always bend and snap off eventually on cheap headphones. Mm-hmm. Yep. And they've got a reinforced one. And it's a little thing, but it makes a big difference, I think. Anyway, that was my cool thing.
So are all you guys Prime members, just out of curiosity?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Okay.
All right. Just curious.
Yeah. It's really worth it.
Yeah. I go in once a year for Christmas and then I drop out usually. I do the 30 day thing around Black Friday.
You do a 30 day Prime membership?
Yeah. Yeah. Where you get it for free. And then you do all of your Christmas shopping. And then after that, you go, is it really worth $100? I don't know.
Well, so we watch Amazon Prime, but also our son buys his, not all, but some of his textbooks through there. And things like that. So,
yeah, their video streaming is actually getting pretty good.
It is. Yep, it absolutely is.
So that's probably worth it right there. But
yeah. So, link bait of the week, was that just for us?
I kind of put that on there for you guys.
He just put this in the show notes just to be silly. But you know, it is funny because link bait is just becoming such a big deal. You know. Where
what happened to the internet where below every news story are all these crazy things, you know, to get you to click on it. Whatever happened? When did that happen?
Well, you'll have to
sleep. And all of a sudden
it happened. Yeah.
There's all these link baity stories at every news site.
Well, this one was, I don't know. I was cruising through or, you know, preparing for the cast and, you know, all of the articles that everybody posts. I was kind of reading up on those. And then at the bottom of the page was this link bait. So Steve, you'll have to put it in the show notes. So it's a picture of a rather attractive woman, you know, wearing a tank top, which I would say she's probably 40, 45,
older woman.
So, right. You know, in the demographic that we are, and it says underneath, citizens stunned in capital letters by mind blowing French video.
Yeah.
With this attractive woman sitting on this park bench, and you say to yourself, with you know,
with just, a netbook too, which is
right. Kind of funny. So I said, oh, well, this has got to be good. So I clicked it, and it's to a very cheesy site for language lessons.
Oh, how funny.
French video.
Get it? Yeah, learn French. So yeah, it's like, yeah. Oh my God.
So, well, you know, there are so many, and it's happening more and more on Facebook. So maybe I need to make some changes in things in Facebook, but like who I'm friends with. But it's always these videos that people are posting. Fault. Yeah, right. It's always these videos that people are posting that are things like, this was the most amazing thing that I've ever seen. And then in the tagline, it's always, and then you should have seen the smile on, or you should have seen what her face did after she watched this, you know, or just some stupid stuff like that. And, you know, it's enough intrigue. Sometimes they're intriguing enough, you know, you want to click on them and I know they're all link bait, so I don't bother. But anyway, let's talk about upcoming events, kids.
Yeah.
There's events coming up. Get out of town.
There are. So the social media breakfast, visuals that compel and influence. I know that's not new, but.
Well, it's new to our list.
It's new to our list. Yeah.
The 20th of February.
Yeah. Yeah. So that looks like a pretty interesting event.
And of course, Steve and I have to get our events plugged. So Mobile March coming the 26th of March. Just a little heads up, if you get this posted today, Steve, the early bird cheap price goes is out of
effect. Goes away today.
It goes away on Groundhog Day. So if the day before Groundhog Day. Well, I thought there was like, if you wake up on the 2nd of March, like the groundhog, you're going to come up and see that the prices are higher. So just get your $85 ticket price, bunch of keynote speakers, yep. 3 days, or three to four tracks of learning. It'll be great. So,
well, and then we also need to mention in February that the Hennepin County Geocode event is going on at the Minneapolis Central Library. And that looks like a very interesting event. Open Twin Cities at the Hennepin County Library. I'm not familiar with that organization. Are you guys? OpenTwinCities.org. Citizens driven to improve civic technology. And I just don't know these guys. It looks like an interesting group. I'll put that link in the show notes as well. But
Meg Knodel is involved in this, right?
Yep, absolutely.
She's probably the main instigator behind it, or at least of the event itself.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And the attendee list is huge. I mean, it's a lot, economic analysts from the state of Minnesota, a research scientist from the Minnesota Department of Health, a bunch of people from the U of M, curator from the Borchert Map Library at the U of M. I mean, so, obviously people that care about geocoding, and it's pretty interesting. So anyway.
Anyone get tickets to mini demo?
No, I'm going to have to bite the bullet and pay money.
Ugh.
Become a community member.
Yeah, well, I think there's another drop coming next week.
No, I know they are, but, I missed it by like 22 minutes.
I wasn't on my computer when it went out. I saw it on my phone. I'm like, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I'll try next week. We'll see.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody.
You got to plug IoT. You didn't plug IoT.
Well, you mentioned Fuse. All right. The Internet of Things event, IoT Fuse.
I just realized I can't go because you've got a code 19th. Of conduct. So,
code of conduct?
They've got a code of conduct. I can't go now.
Really? Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Phil. I wish you could.
Darn it.
So is it you can't work for BuzzFeed and attend IoT Fuse? Is that it?
This is interesting, Steve. Yeah. I guess I've never seen a code of conduct for a conference before, but
yeah, Justin put that in. Justin Grammons.
That's interesting. I like it.
Well, so we have our session tracks set up. So track one is going to be the big picture. Track two is making IoT. Track three is networks and cloud. And then the fourth track is really an unconference, your own session topics. So there'll be a setup there. But our morning keynote is Joel Young, the CTO at Digi International. And then the luncheon one, as I mentioned earlier, is Mohammed Abdurrahman, founder of Playtobase. And we're also going to do something kind of fun this year, which is this speed mentoring. Patrick Delaney, who's one of the co-founders, we were talking about this concept of having tables set up with experts, on platforms and legal and capital and tools and resources, blah, blah, blah. And I said, people would sign up for, short segments, and then they would move to the next one. And he goes, well, it's just like speed dating. Maybe we should call it speed mentoring. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, it was like the perfect name for it. So we're going to do that. And then so you'd be able to move from table to table and do things and meet with people. And, if somebody's not tied up, you can walk over and talk to them, but, at least get some, some business cards passed around and so forth. So
sounds
should
cool.
Be cool. Yeah.
Cool. Very cool.
So thank you, everyone.
So there you go.
Carving out some time, right?
Yeah. We've got a pretty busy week next week, and, we'll find out what's happening in tech next week on
the Minivate Gang podcast. Take care.
We will. Yep.
Have a good week.
Have a good one.
Falling in love. wanna know more.